Well, you may be able to guess from the front of our order of service that this worship service is serving as a Unitarian Universalist teach-in on white supremacy. It's the second one of its kind that is happening this year here at REAB. And today and next week, over 200 congregations across our country and into Canada are changing up their worship as a way to explore this topic. We hold that large cultural shifts are sorely needed, that they will require work, and that such work will challenge our comfort levels. And all of that is important, and all of that can be done in our congregation. We believe that hundreds of UU churches signaling to their own members and to the larger community that our faith takes racism seriously, especially within our walls, that will push our faith toward the beloved community that we all seek. Yes, we will be closer to creating beloved community because we are here today, and expect to be uncomfortable. But don't worry, it's worth it. Now, I don't know about you, but I really would prefer to talk about courage, which, as you can likely guess by the collaborative artwork in the lobby and the question at the top of our orders of service on the inside left, courage is our theme for the month. I prefer to talk about courage in comparison to talking about white supremacy or fear. Yet, I'm learning there's also the need to face our fears. So here I am talking about white supremacy. In this case, white supremacy is not about hoods and mobs like the hate we saw in Charlottesville, Virginia, back in August. For our purposes, I invite us to think about white supremacy in the way that the folks from Black Lives UU describe it. Quote, white supremacy is a set of institutional assumptions and practices, often operating unconsciously, that tend to benefit white people and exclude people of color. In 2017, actual white supremacists are not required in order to uphold white supremacist culture. Building a faith full of people who understand that key distinction is essential as we work toward a more just society in difficult political times. Now, last week, Reverend Karen and had the children and youth practice their courage muscles. She said, take a wide stand, breathe deeply, set your eyes so they are serious, and then engage your body. So today, I invite all of us to exercise our courage muscles and face our fears. Thankfully, I'm remembering that I don't have to feel courageous in order to behave courageously. So that's helpful to remember. I can notice my fear and still take action. So one thing I've noticed about white supremacy is that it tends to put the stories of white people at the center. Think about the TV shows and movies that are available to us. The racial identities of characters and novels. Or your history class in school, for example. Maybe marginalized groups were included, but only after the regular story time was told first. So today I want to spend some time centering the stories and fears of people of color. For example, did you hear Reverend Brabing that story about her fear? An event, a feeling that she wrote about back in 1991. This fear of losing a loved one because of a white person's fear is not new. It started long before the 1990s, and it has been alive all and well all too recently. It makes me sad, her story, and sick to my stomach, and angry. And at the same time, the little part of me wants to be like Little Monster in our book, From the Message for All Ages. I think I want to be in a scary story. Part of me wants to dig into racism with its horrific roots and poison fruit. But another part of me would rather just be in a funny story, after all. Yet I also know that I do not want to stay there. That if there's any hope in dismantling white supremacy, I must come face to face with all the truths that I can find. So that is when I behave courageously and keep listening. So here's another story from a book entitled Unitarian Universalists of Color, Stories of Struggle, Courage, Love, and Faith. In a piece called Coming Full Circle, My Journey with Unitarian Universalism, Yuri Yamamoto writes this. Yuri, I don't see you as a person of color. A dear white Unitarian Universalist friend of mine came up to me with a big smile. Clearly, she meant this as a compliment. Perhaps she meant I was one of them. She didn't discriminate against me. She didn't see my color. Or did she mean that she just saw me as Yuri, her friend? She appeared to be full of joy and hope, and probably was ready to give me a big hug, too. Having already been in a bad mood, I had a violent reaction. That makes me feel invisible. I totally lost it, torn between my raw emotions and trying to be a loving person informed by Unitarian Universalism. I felt my facial muscles tighten in every which way while throwing random questions at her. My friend looked bewildered. She explained how she had grown up in California with lots of Japanese American friends with whom she considered a part of her community. She didn't know many black people, so she wanted to meet them. I stopped listening to her. I brought up the Japanese internment camps during World War II that must have affected families of her Japanese American friends. She said that her friends never seemed to have been affected by their families' experiences from the horrific history. I replied, "Perhaps they just didn't tell you?" There was a silence and a gasp. Oh my gosh, I never thought of that. Tears rolled down her cheeks. We had just finished a weekend conference with representatives from several congregations committed to the journey toward multiculturalism. I had been feeling progressively worse during the conference because conversations were totally focused on the black and white dichotomy. There appeared to be very few, if any, yellow faces in the room other than me. Furthermore, some presenters sounded self-congratulatory about their accomplishments while pointing fingers at those absent from the room. There was no time for self-reflection and anti-racism on our own. How typical for Unitarian Universalists, I thought as my disappointment grew. My experiences with Unitarian Universalism in the last 13 years include both frustrations like this and rich opportunities to learn, grow, and love. It is just like life, I try to tell myself, but I keep finding myself on the fence about this faith. So here's yet another UU of color sharing their story, and we hear of a different kind of fear. There's a lot at stake here. I could lose Yuri from our UU movement. And for Yuri, it's even more personal. What does it mean for her to not be seen, even by people who are supposedly her friends? How can she or we live fully and satisfying lives if people don't see us or her? Aren't our spiritual communities the very places where we are all supposedly inherently worthy and full of dignity? And shouldn't we be able to be seen in our entirety? So let's spend some time seeing each other and listening deeply and flexing our courage muscles. Adrienne Marie Brown is a writer, scholar, healer, and activist out of Detroit. She reflects about fear on her blog like this. Fear has come in waves, and I am getting curious about it, finding out what my fears want me to know. Fear is an intelligence. It makes me alert to danger. It's not a state I want to linger in. It's a way to come into wakefulness with what is. So the next section of our worship has three parts. Two are longer and one is shorter. And we'll need to, I'm going to ask you to turn to a neighbor who's sitting nearby. Adrienne Marie Brown offers this exercise for when we are, quote, overwhelmed with fear and terror. So after you find a partner or two, sit face to face and do this first step together. So first, take turns naming your fears and or griefs as they relate to the work of racial justice. Let that feeling come. With your hands, show where the fears live in your body. And mirror each other so you both get the experience of seeing your grief on another. We're going to spend a couple minutes doing this, allowing both of you to share your fears and or griefs. And then I will sing you back into our full community. Okay. Breathe. Find a partner. Come and go with me to that land. Come and go with me to that land. Come and go with me to that land where I'm bound, where I'm bound. Come and go with me to that land. Come and go with me to that land. Come and go with me to that land. For this second part, we're going to feel our resilience. Place your hands on your bellies. And we're, instead of breaking up into dyads again, we're just going to shout out things from our bellies. Place your hands on your bellies and name things that make you feel resilient. Imagine those things filling you up. Rock and roll a little bit. Make room for more resilience inside yourselves. What makes you feel resilient? There's so much else we can do when we choose to act courageously. For example, this afternoon at 2, there's a lecture at First Unitarian Society. A UW history professor will be talking about the making of the black-white dichotomy. A second option is to participate in the Courageous Conversations on Culture sessions here at James Reeb. There's one tomorrow night at 7 p.m., and you can see me after service if you want to sign up. And there's a third option. Learn more about the eighth principle that is being voted on at next year's UUA General Assembly. It reads as follows. We, the member congregations of the Unitarian Universalist Association, covenant to affirm and promote journeying towards spiritual wholeness by working to build a diverse, multicultural, beloved community by our actions that accountably dismantle racism and other oppressions in ourselves and our institutions. Let me close with deep gratitude for all of you, for admitting that we have fears, for exploring them as a way to deepen our commitment to change, for feeling in our bodies the resilience that will surely grow if we keep at this work of making the world more just. Thanks for acting courageously even when we're not always feeling courageous. May fear not freeze you. Instead, may it fascinate you and fuel you to new knowledge, feelings, and community. So may it be.